Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We continue with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, what's proving to be a very interesting series with him on Reformation theology, going today into an area that not many associate with the Reformation. I would dare say it's one of the undersung aspects of the 16th century Reformation. Undersung, but should never be underestimated. Luther would have called it the hiddenness of God, or God wearing masks, God appearing under his opposite. And it sounds very mystical, but it really isn't. It's about the kind of life you really live, not the kind of life your preacher tells you you should be living. The victorious life, the higher life, ever getting better, ever conquering all things in your life. Sooner or later, nothing touches you. You know that's not true. You know that's a fiction, don't you? So what about the real Christian life? The life lived, as the Reformers would have said, in the shadow of the cross. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Dr. Veith, welcome back.
Good to be with you again.
Does pop American Christianity, kind of general evangelicalism, have a real biblical way of dealing with suffering, the continuation of the struggle against sin in the Christian's life, things like that?
Yeah, it's a real problem for American Christians, and many people have commented on that, that the contemporary American Christianity has no theology of suffering. The expectation is that you live a victorious Christian life, that God will solve all of your problems. That's how it's often presented. And it manifests itself in some extreme ways now that is not, I think, mainline evangelicalism. But when you listen to Joel Osteen and many of the television preachers, the whole prosperity gospel, that if you believe and have enough faith, God will, you know, give you a new car and pay off your house, and He'll bring prosperity of every kind to your life. He'll heal all your diseases. He'll solve your money problems. He'll give you a good marriage, and you'll live happily ever after. And there are a lot of Christians who get swept up in that. But the problem is, then when it doesn't happen, when there's an economic collapse, or when there's a marriage problem, or when somebody's afflicted with a sickness and they just don't get healed, it becomes a crisis of faith, and they start wondering if God really loves them, or even worse, if there is a God, and if there is, how could he allow all these bad things to happen to me, and so on. And it makes shipwreck of some people's faith, but that's the expectation. Tragically, the reality is something very different.
All right. This is something with which the 16th century reformer, Martin Luther, this was not an academic or a theoretical subject for him. This was, in many ways, kind of at the very center of not only his struggle prior to the time when the gospel came clear for him, but it remained at the center of his theology even afterward. Describe it for us, if you would.
Well, Luther distinguished between the theology of glory as opposed to a theology of the cross. And it's not just theology, you know, about these things. Like you said, this is something living. We want glory. We want all of our questions answered. We want victory. We want to solve all of our problems. And we look to our faith as a way to do that. And certainly the church of Luther's time was very much about power, prestige, promising miracles and promising success, just as an institution, so the success and righteousness and Mara talking all in those terms. Whereas Luther pointed out that the way God came to us was in weakness, in a homeless baby, in someone who had no place to lay his head, in the weakness and shame of the cross. And how God really comes is not in glory. He set aside his glory, and he came in something that seemed to be the opposite. And again, we would think, and most religions of the world, well, yes, if the God would come, he will be a conquering hero, and he'll defeat the evil forces, and he'll set up a utopian kingdom. But instead, Jesus came in the cross, and his way of salvation, of relating to us, is by dying for us. And it's in his suffering and death, and also in our relationship to him, we come to know Christ and the cross and what that means by our recognizing honestly our failures, when we see that we're not keeping God's law, that we fail to do that, that we can't, no matter how hard we try, and in recognizing our weakness, that's when Christ's cross becomes so real to us. And Christ tells us that the Christian life, you'll have to bear your cross, take up your cross and follow me. But the thing is, when you do that, and even in the trials and sufferings and the constant just problems of this life, we depend on Christ more and more. And that's where our faith really grows. And we find that Christ has taken up our griefs and our sorrows into his cross. And that's how we get to know him on the most intimate level.
It is so counterintuitive, and perhaps even contrary to how we're spiritually wired because of our fallenness. We want it all to be quite obvious. We want to know how God is disposed toward us. Maybe not a sign from heaven or writing in the sky, but at the very least, kind of being able to take the temperature of our life, how things are going for us financially, familially, how we feel about ourselves spiritually, take our inward temperature as well, and be able to at least in that way somehow measure how God is disposed toward us favorably or not. Why doesn't God deal with us that way?
Well, he deals with us in a way that's so much better. The Bible just very clearly says that our lives are hidden in Christ with God. Our lives are hidden. We don't realize how we are to God. We don't even experience it day by day, how God honors us, and how God protects us, and how God treasures us. This is in Colossians 3, 3 to 4. For you have died, says St. Paul, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There is glory waiting for us. And that's something we will enjoy. But in this life, it's a life of trials and tribulations and doubting and frustrations and failures. But our lives are hidden. That gives us a security with God that is unmatched. If you just are always monitoring how you're doing, taking your spiritual temperature from day to day, moment to moment, you'll see lots of ups and downs. Sometimes we do great, sometimes we don't. But see, that's nothing to build anything on. You won't find much security or assurance in that. But to understand that our lives are hidden with Christ. They're hidden, just as our sins are hidden before God, covered by the blood of Christ. We're even hidden from ourselves, so we don't even always perceive the relationship that God has established with us. And it's in very ordinary things, you know, going to church, taking communion, hearing God's word. It doesn't seem very spectacular. And God is hidden in all of those things, though, to bring us and keep us to himself. And to me, that's more comforting than whenever, you know, I look at my own life. And that's the essence, I think, of the gospel itself, how God has saved us, even in ways we don't realize.
When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, part 3 of our 6-part series on Reformation theology. Today we're talking about the hiddenness of God, a God who hides himself, sometimes even behind his opposite, or what we perceive to be his opposite, and the theology of the cross. I've heard, even though this is a really part and parcel of what it means to be a Reformation Christian, I've heard Christians ignorant of it, who believe that it has to be a theology of glory. It is about feeling better, being better, doing better. And if it isn't, then something's wrong. God must be displeased with you, so you gotta feel better, do better, be better to win God's good graces. It sounds an awful lot like the old works righteousness. Or others who realize that there is a theology of the cross, but the two need to be somehow balanced. Is that true? Are we to balance a theology of the cross and the theology of glory in our life? Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. You can find out about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book, The Spirituality of the Cross. More with Dr. Veith after this. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the theology of the cross, how God sometimes, well, most times, hides himself, in particular in suffering. Something that, well, you know, in America, where you live out in the suburbs and things are well and suffering is only kind of a theoretical possibility in some cases. It's not popular among American Christians to think about a God who even hides himself, who will even commune with us via suffering. That leaves, if you think about it, take it to its logical extent, leaves very little place for the suffering God hanging on the cross. If God doesn't have anything to do with our suffering now, what in the world was he doing then when he himself was suffering and dying? Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. I have heard Dr. Veith, people who probably should know better, Reformation Christians, who know the difference between the theology of the cross and the theology of glory, who will say, what we really need to do is strike a balance between the two. How do you react to that?
Well, there's no balance. We have nothing to put into the balance with against Christ's suffering. And I mean, that's such a naive statement, and it still betrays that desire for glory, for my own glory, really, because that is what it comes to, that desire for power, for that desire for victory, that desire for... Now, again, God is so gentle with us most of the time for us, and we take all these things for granted. And I'm not saying the Christian is always one of suffering or asceticism. Far from it. The suffering that we choose for ourselves, you know, elaborate fasts and self-denial, that's not really the cross because we're choosing it. It's when we experience things we don't choose for ourselves, that's what we have trouble dealing with. But yeah, so many, even Reformation Christians, think that, you know, they've got to be in a big, successful church. Church is always growing and getting bigger and bigger, and everything that is on the upswing. And that's a remnant of that theology of glory. And again, the cross, theology of the cross, and the hiddenness of God. And again, to talk of God's hiddenness, that doesn't mean he's absent. The hiddenness of God is a way to talk about his presence. We don't see him, and you don't perceive really what he's doing. But by faith, we know that God is keeping his promises. Luther even talked about how God is hidden behind, God's love is hidden behind his wrath. And what we may see is his wrath, especially when we're confronted by the law. But behind that is his love in the gospel. And again, this is just such a rich, powerful teaching, and so practical, and it describes with great honesty what we all actually go through. But it's sad that there are Christians either who don't know about this or who do and still want to find glory somewhere in this world. Again, they're missing the whole point.
Well, in that vein, I was recently reading a book by a leader in our own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and painting a picture of, I think, this church body as kind of unrealized potential. It's just waiting to bust out and come into its own and emerge into greatness. And all it takes is just this, that, and the other thing. And then we could really start to rake in the success like we are destined to do. Is it a theology of glory?
Well, it sure sounds like it.
So in contrast to that, you write that the church is often, or at least often appears to be, a weak and attenuated institution. And if I look at church history, that's what it sounds like. I mean, the church is not really a picture of kind of institutional success over time. So how are we to understand the church in terms of theology of the cross?
Well, I think this is especially a powerful way to talk about the church today in our contemporary post-Christian world. The postmodernists and the others the non-believers are so cynical. They say, oh, it's all just a matter of power. You know, you Christians, you're just trying to get power. You're just trying to manipulate me. You're just trying to get my money. You're just trying to do this and that. But again, there's such a cynicism about power. And so I think the message that, well, maybe what you say is valid of most religions, of many religions, but true Christianity is not about power. It's about weakness. It's about the cross. And I think that's a version of God that can get through to people in a way. People have trouble believing in this majestic deity that is so transcendent and looks down on our pain, and why is he doing that? Whereas the Christian message is about a God who isn't just looking down from afar at our pain, but he entered it. He entered it, bore it, and took it into himself. Isaiah talks about how the coming Messiah bears our grief, surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yes, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and our iniquity, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ bore our sin. He also bore our griefs and our sorrows. And to communicate that God, to communicate God crucified, is a message that just cuts against the grain of so much human-made religion. And I think it's especially compelling and is something that can move people who are in need, who are desperate, who cover it up, who have to live lives of phoniness and who have to fake everything. This is a God who is for them.
With only about a minute here, I got a couple questions, but when we say that God hides himself in suffering, mm-hmm. does he also reveal himself in the same?
Well, he does, and see, God's hidden from our earthly eyes, but it's in faith that we see him. It's in faith when we read God's word and his promises and how he talks about how he is there for us, then we perceive him. We experience him through faith. And see, faith involves becoming completely dependent on God. And as long as we have other things in our lives that we're dependent, as long as we are independent in certain ways, to that extent, our faith is lessened. And sometimes it's in those hard trials and tribulations that we have to totally give ourselves up, and we have to depend on Christ, because there's no one else to depend upon.
Then with only about a minute here, what is the danger, finally, of measuring God's favor, his presence, his love, based upon my circumstances here and now? About 30 seconds.
Well, that's looking for God in all the wrong places. We have to look to God where he promises to be. Namely, in his word, in our baptism, in the fact of our baptism, in his body and blood that he gives to us for us, and in that cross, Luther warns against, don't think about God in other ways than through Christ on the cross, because if you do, that God is going to be scary, he's going to be remote, he's going to just blow you away. But think about him through the cross, and then you'll know his real heart for you. Then you'll know how he cares for you and what he's done for you. And through the cross is where we have our real security, and we know God is the most intimate level, because that's where he meets us.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross, The Way of the First Evangelicals. Folks, here's a way that you can support Issues, Etc., Real Reformation Radio. It's called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Membership benefits include items like the I Have Issues t-shirt, books, transcripts. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Dr. V, thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
It really is about leaving us with absolutely no place to stand, isn't it? It's about leaving us with nothing to stand on and no place to look except to the cross and the one who hangs there on that cross. And that is good. It's good because there is no other hope. There is no other way of definitively and certainly knowing the love of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, the pleasure of God, than in that man hanging dead for us on the cross, our God, Jesus Christ. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Veith about the spirituality of ordinary life. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. Talk with you again tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.